whenever things get hard, it's not just about my own well-being, it's about them. To me, that's what makes it so rewarding, is that it's not just about me. That's why I do it.
My name's Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast, celebrating women in tech around the world. And right now we are in the incredible Austin, Texas. Hello, yeah. Amber.
Hi there.
Hey.
Hey.
Howdy.
Howdy. Yeah, that's how I say it around here.
Amber, go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Yeah, so I'm Amber Gray, and I'm the founder and CEO of Trusty Oak, where we provide U.S.-based virtual assistant services. And that's a little bit of a mouthful, but in short, it's really just your back office admin, social media management, all of those small things that have to happen for businesses to run. So,
okay, we're going to dive deep because yeah. Do you know I wrote a book called How to Outsource?
I didn't realize that.
Which no. I even forgot that I wrote. And so I flew to Austin to write a book with one of my favorite authors, which I haven't gotten to yet. That's happening next week. And my mom's like, haven't you written a book before? And I'm like, no. I'm like, this is my first book. She's like, no, I'm pretty sure you wrote a book. And I'm like, what are you talking about, mom? Like, I haven't. And she reminded me. She's not very technical, so she wouldn't know what a PDF is.
Okay.
But she reminded me that I wrote an ebook a long time ago, which I don't count as a book.
I see.
It's an ebook. It's like a, you know, 20-page, like, how to outsource. That's not a book.
Yeah.
I'm writing, like, a real book now. But anyway, my mom's like, that was a book. You yeah. sold it and everything. I'm like, I suppose I did sell it. Like, yeah. But, yeah, I'm obsessed with outsourcing. Do a heavy amount of research on virtual assistant. I am in love with the conversation we're about to have.
Awesome.
But before we get more into Trusty Oak and all things you related to Trusty Oak, let's talk about your personal journey through tech. When did you first discover your love for technology?
Well, my story is kind of odd.
Yeah.
I have a very odd career track. When I first graduated high school, I never went to college, and I was a pharmacy technician for 11 years.
Yeah.
So no tech whatsoever, no anything. And I was realizing I was at the top of my pay scale and couldn't really advance at all without either going to school or just totally taking a different path. So I just kind of took a chance and started freelancing, learning how to project manage for my friend that was a coder and designer.
Yeah.
And she was like, hey, I think you have what it takes to do project management. I need help. I'm disorganized.
Yeah.
So it just started as a subcontractor for her. And then the company we were working for kind of, I guess, noticed my talent and picked me up. And so that's when I
And that's Trusty Oak?
No, it was a digital marketing company called Shelton Interactive that was a startup here in Austin in 2010. And so I got into it and started just learning more about the project management side. I didn't do code or design or some of that stuff, but I was, you know, managing the processes.
Yeah.
We're talking about Basecamp earlier. Basecamp, you know, just making things happen and bringing all the right people together.
Yeah.
And I grew with the company. And I guess in a lot of ways, I fell in love with the business part of it.
Yeah.
Even more so than the technical pieces of it. But that's kind of, I guess, whenever I realized, okay, this is a thing. So, yeah. And then Trusty Oak, that was an accidental. I had no idea I was going to start a company.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to get a job. I thought I have 5 years experience with this startup now. So maybe I can go to Apple or IBM. And, you know, I started applying for jobs, but no college at all. You know, the computers are filtering me out before I ever talk to anyone. So I got discouraged first. And then whenever I realized, you know, maybe this is a sign to think bigger.
Yeah.
I stumbled on Periscope. There was like that hot minute that
on
Periscope. I came across.
Crazy. That's like live video Twitter. Yeah.
So I came across another company that was a virtual assistant company. And at first I thought apply for a job.
Yeah.
But I knew that wasn't really what I wanted. And I had the light bulb moment in the shower. hey, why don't I just start a company that does this?
So many questions. First of all, I really want to acknowledge how just incredible and awesome it is that you were working in another, a complete other industry for 11 years. That's not a year. It's not a short period of time.
Right.
And you made a leap into an industry that at that point you didn't know much about. And you essentially pressed the restart button.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Were you scared?
A little bit, but I had this, you know, the person that kind of encouraged me to it was saying, no, you totally have what it takes to do this. You can do it. And then when I started reading books, I think I went to Half Price Books and bought some project management books and just started reading it and realized I really like this. This is like kind of who I am. And so I don't know. I think I didn't have a lot of living expenses. I was, you know, just keeping things low. And I just thought, you know what? It's worth taking a risk. So I did.
So exciting. What were the initial offerings that you thought you'd have that would make you stand out amongst your competitors? I mean, the virtual assistant space is quite competitive. There's a lot of people offering that. Sites like Upwork, Fiverr, et cetera. What makes Trusty Oak different? And why call it Trusty Oak?
Yeah.
Two-in-one question.
Yeah, two-in-one question. Well, I think, I'll start with why I call it Trusty Oak. I wanted it to represent something that is dependable, reliable, kind of stand the test of time. A lot of the other sites, I mean, they're great for project-based little things, but I was looking to establish something that's more ongoing and really serve as in the role of an employee for a business, but be able to do it virtually with independent contractors.
Right.
So Trusty Oak, just to represent that dependability and, you know, something that's going to be there. And that's really the differentiator too, is just that, I guess it's twofold. One, for our client side, we want someone that they can count on, that's got a higher level of professionalism. There's a vetting process. It's not just like upload your profile and you get to work. There's a whole strenuous process for selecting the virtual assistants that we work with. So that gives us the ability to really stand true to what we're committing to our clients. But the part that I really get passionate about is providing work for people that want to work from home for a variety of reasons. I mean, some people are, home with their kids. Actually, up until just this week, we were a 100% female team. We have one guy that's a web developer now, but the big thing was giving people a chance to break out of the matrix and not do the traditional 9-to-5 thing. So,
and you said Trusty Oak has U.S.-based virtual assistants. Was that right?
Right. So I think that's important to differentiate, because there's a lot of virtual assistant companies that are a lot less expensive and you can get a VA anytime, but a lot of people want someone that can really integrate with their business. And I think being U.S. based and, you know, in the same time zones and probably with experience working in a similar company in the past, but now they're going virtual, just makes a difference for the client.
What's the flow? If I were to look for a role, what's a social media manager? How does that work with Trusty Oak?
Yeah, well, if the first step is just for us to have a conversation, I listen to see if that's really what they need or if it's something else or what else could we do, because we have a team with some are social media focused, some are admin, writing, whatever. There's so many different things. And we do operate as a team, even though we're working as, you know, with dedicated virtual assistants for each client. But someone would just call, we'd identify that, and then I'm using that conversation to determine, okay, who's going to be the best fit. And this is where I'll get a little bit nerdy and just like my system, but I use my HubSpot CRM to actually keep up with applicants. So people that want to be a virtual assistant apply on the site. We're keeping a lot of notes in our CRM, so I can very quickly just go in and, you know, figure out, okay, based on these tasks, the software that they use, this is a good VA. And then, you know, the conversation internally starts with, hey, here's this client. What do you think? And so everybody gets to choose who they want to work with.
And what are the rate ranges? Like, where's the starting point?
It's sold in hourly packages that you can use on any task.
So you purchase a package.
You purchase a package. You get a better rate if you buy a larger package. But
and do you have a dedicated person, same person through and through?
Right. Yeah. So you would be assigned that one person. But let's say they're handling invoicing and sending out your proposals, but now you're asking for a marketing brochure and they don't know how to do that. We use Slack to say, hey, I've got a client that needs help with the marketing brochure. Who can help me with this? And someone else will get involved and take care of that one piece. But the client
under the same package?
Under the same package, yeah. So the client has a simplicity of just having that one point person most of the time. We have a few clients now that are growing and actually like now they're at, I mean, we have one web agency that's using three different virtual assistants for different roles. And he's like, I want to just keep going with more VAs.
What are some of the pricing packages?
It ranges between $31 and $38 an hour. So you get a better rate with the larger package if you're going to be, you know, in it for a little bit longer. But the hours are, there's no contract. So people can buy a package. They have 90 days to use it on anything that comes up. We have a time tracker that we're sending reports so they know exactly where the time is. When the time's gone, they buy more. They don't have to.
That's so cool. And you talked about using HubSpot. I love sharing productivity tools. I use a tool called Pipedrive. Why? Mm-hmm. HubSpot is supposed to be like king of everything.
Yeah.
What do you like about HubSpot? I'm definitely tempted constantly to check out HubSpot more because everyone loves HubSpot.
Well, it's funny, but I think like a lot of people start with the free CRM and then they kind of evolve into the other parts of the tool. But I started with the marketing software first, the paid, I think it's about $300 a month. And it gives me the ability to like post my blogs on HubSpot. A lot of analytics stuff, social media management. There's tons of stuff that it can do in there. And then later I started realizing, okay, well, the CRM has a lot of capacity as well. So then I just started adding on automation tools. I mean, it's pretty endless. And I probably haven't even gotten halfway through everything.
And is it more than $300 a month now?
I'm paying $350 a month. Yeah.
That's what I heard. I heard HubSpot, it has a lot of free tools, but then once you get into it, you don't want to leave it and it does get really expensive. But I've never truly looked at it. So I didn't know if really expensive meant like $1,000 a month or like $50. I don't know.
I mean, $350, you can get a lot out of it. I think the next package up is $800 a month.
Oh, that's probably like what everybody's talking about. Mm-hmm. So what has been an obstacle that you've successfully overcome and how did you overcome it?
Well, I think I touched on a little bit just, you know, not having experience and feeling a little bit discouraged and realizing like maybe I'm going to have to go to school to get a real job. And, you know, that was part of it. But it was really a mentality that I had to overcome through that and just realize like if I want to do something, I should just go for it. So I think that's probably the biggest thing. And just realizing when you're starting out a new business, it's an endurance race. And, you know, there were times where I thought I was going to throw in the towel. Just, you know, financially, I was thinking, okay, well, I can't get paid this time and got to keep this running. So I was driving, there was a company called Fasten that is like Uber, Lyft. I was doing that. I worked like a contract office manager job, just trying to keep it going, and I made it over the hump. And so now things are going really well. But I think that's probably the biggest challenge is just not giving up and pushing through whenever things were kind of hard.
I think that's a great point. Right now we're sitting in this place called Impact Hub, which is a co-working space. And it's so important to have that community when you're working. And I think even when you're surrounded by a lot of people, we still feel really alone in our entrepreneurial journey. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to over. Like yesterday when I was really frustrated with something, I called my girlfriend Shauna in Canada. I was like, I need to vent. I need you to listen to me. And then I need you to tell me how to fix it. And she's like, go. And then I'm like, da, 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 da. Yeah. And you know, I started with, I feel like I'm not good enough to be an entrepreneur because I keep failing at this thing. And if I keep failing at it, it must mean that I don't have what it takes, because why does this mistake keep happening over and over even though I'm trying so hard? Mm. And she's like, so last week I lost that much money too. And I did it, you know what I mean? And like, I, you know, had the exact same challenge. I'm like, you did? She's like, yeah. I'm like, but you're so smart, you know? Like, and she's like, we go through this. And I think the thing that Sean and I have in common is we're both really nice, compassionate leaders. And we were talking about setting boundaries and making sure like people don't take advantage. And I'm like, I don't think people are trying to take advantage of me. She's like, well, sometimes if you don't set a boundary, people will just do what you allow them to do. They're not necessarily bad people. They're just, why are they going to tell you to stop paying them or whatever, you know? So it's interesting. Where do you go to? Do you have even idea? Like, what do you wish existed for, to support us as leaders, as entrepreneurs, as creators when we're feeling shit?
Yeah. Like, well, honestly, I feel like it's just nurturing relationships that I have. I guess I don't really wish for something I don't already have. I feel like it's just a matter of being vulnerable, like you were with your friend, just, you know, calling someone and saying, okay, this sucks. What do I do?
Yeah.
And, you know, not being afraid to kind of put it out there.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to do that with just anyone everyone, but, you know, just having your inner circle, so to speak, someone that you can trust and bounce things off of. And, I mean, even just thinking about that low point where I was just talking about, my friend Terry Greer, he's an insurance agent, and he's just always been like a cheerleader for me. And I remember having lunch with him nearly in tears, just telling him, you know, I don't know about this. He was, you know, he empathized with me and felt it and encouraged me and checked in on me. And you know, like things started getting better. And then he was the first one, you know, high-fiving whenever things were kind of on the upswing again. So I think it's just continuing to get people like that in your corner.
How large is your company right now? How many contractors do you have working with you? How many people run it?
So there are 28 right now, and I have an interview this afternoon. So hopefully there will be another one added. They're all virtual assistants, like working as virtual assistants, with the exception of the one person that's the web developer that's new. I don't really have a term for the virtual assistants that are helping me with a lot of internal stuff, but there's one person that's a staffing coordinator helping with bringing on the new people, vetting, making sure we've got some great people coming in. There's a couple of others that are helping with marketing, and there's a whole bunch of them that are just offering kind of the brain trust of things and, you know, bringing big ideas to the table. So
when did you create Trusty Oak?
3 years ago next month, so August 2015. Yeah.
Do you ever feel responsible for all of them?
Yes. Yeah, it is. There's a little bit of a weight in that. And actually, that, you know, that's part of whenever things get hard. It's not just about my own well-being. It's about them. But I don't know. That, to me, that's what makes it so rewarding, is that it's not just about me. And that's why I do it, because I love seeing, like, I went, actually visited, there's five of the assistants live in Boise, Idaho, of all places. And I went to Boise to meet some of them for the very first time.
Cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. And I met some of their husbands and their kids. And I was really moved listening to their families, you know, their husbands telling me, we love Trusty Oak. It's, you know, it's really just changed our life. It's made it easier for us to be, you know, to be flexible, be able to go on trips. Or one of them her husband is starting a coffee roasting business. And, you know, just realizing, like, it's promoting entrepreneurship and giving people control of their life. And that's, I don't know if that really answered the question directly.
No,
it does. Went off on the part that's, you know, what's good. And I love that, how rewarding it is.
Yeah.
And so it's heavy in the sense that, yes, if this fails, there's going to be a lot of people let down. But the reason it's not failing is because we're kind of in it together.
It's funny. I think the word, over the years, I've reassessed the word failure and success. They're very funny words that mean different things at different stages of an entrepreneurial career. In the beginning, success meant to me on the cover of Fast Company magazine, of Inc., you know. And now success means, am I enjoying my life? In the beginning, failure meant a company like falling apart or not existing anymore. Now failure means that I'm not taking action.
Mm.
Like, are you truly a failure if you're taking action every day? I mean, we're not, Kodak doesn't exist. Toys R Us closed down.
Yeah.
Those aren't failures.
That's right.
Like, what is failure if Toys R Us is a failure? We have no hope.
Good point. we're all gonna cry. Yeah.
Like, I just think it's not that black and white.
That's true.
Yeah. But it feels black and white. But it's not that black and white.
No, you're right. Yeah.
What are some suggestions you could give to everyone in hiring the right team? It's a really hard thing to do. So do you have a couple insights that you could share with us?
Yeah, no, that's hot on my mind right now with all these new hires coming in. I think for me, the key is making sure that you're getting people that are independent enough that they actually care about it. But it's also creating a culture that is going to draw in the right people.
Right.
And that's a word people throw around a lot. And it's like, how do you actually do that? Especially when your team is 100% remote, how do you actually, you know, bring people together?
Yeah.
And I'm learning kind of as I go on that, but yeah. giving people the tools to be able to communicate and lean on each yeah. other and have transparency about just everything. I mean, yeah. I even once a month, I send a sales report saying, here's what we did this month. And, you know, it's just giving people the big picture of things so that they're invested. I mean, everyone that's working with me is a part-time worker,
yeah.
but they are, you know, very invested in what yeah. we're doing. And, you know, I don't know if I mean, I didn't set out to with that. Okay, here's how I'm going to do that. And it wasn't really cut and dry,
right.
but realizing that that's what's bringing in the good people. So giving people something to hope for. And if they're applying for a job and they're looking at our Instagram and they see our team and they see the things we're doing, or they, you know, on our newsletter, just again, just being really transparent and showing how it really is
yeah.
and, you know, making it fun and exciting and something that people want to be a part of. But then also, you know, you don't want just anyone coming in. So that's why we have such a strong vetting process. And it's, I mean, it is pretty traditional in some ways, in that we're, you know, we're doing a phone screening interview and we're doing a video interview and we're checking references. And I think it's just, you know, figuring out the right questions to ask to find out like what motivates someone and not just what can they do.
And you talked about HubSpot. We've talked about HubSpot mm-hmm. a lot. What other tools are your favorite apps or software yeah. or productivity tool? Can you, I feel like you'd have
I do
a lot. Like, which one do you recommend for social media management where you can post to Instagram too and at mention?
I'm the wrong person yeah. to okay. answer that specific question.
Okay.
We have some of the virtual assistants yeah. that can talk more yeah. to that, but I can talk about like
yeah.
communication
yeah,
tools
yeah,
and project
yeah.
management. And
oh, wait, ready?
Yeah.
Basecamp, Trello, or Asana?
Trello.
Why?
It's just simpler. Like, I did use Basecamp for a long time, but it was the classic version. I don't know if you ever
yeah,
saw the older version.
Yeah.
And I loved that one. But then when it switched, I felt like I was lost again. And then I switched company. You know, I switched
yeah, yeah.
anyway. But Trello, I like Trello because I like the list. I like the way it looks.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I get it.
You know, it's
yeah.
like it works with my brain.
Our project manager loves Trello. We use both Trello and Basecamp, and our
okay.
project manager loves Trello.
Yeah. I don't know what it is, but lately, another tool that I really love is called Loom, useloom.com.
Ooh, what's that?
It's a Chrome extension. They're actually about to roll out a desktop version of it, but it's a video recording app. So I hit the button. I can screencast, do my, you know, my
yeah.
the camera on or just the screen or both. And instead of sending emails, I just shoot like these quick videos, and it integrates with Slack, so I can just record the video, boom, hit it to Slack, and instead of, you know, typing a bunch of stuff, I just
what?
Talk. And so, and actually that really, that's another thing that I'm really focusing on right now, is realizing, hey, this is actually part of why I think our team is well connected, and they feel like they know me really well, because
yeah.
I'm making these videos all
yeah,
the time,
yeah,
and
yeah.
they see me, and they, you know, kind of see my mannerisms or
yeah.
or whatever. So, and it also ties really well to Trello, and this,
Loom does.
Yeah, Loom
Why?
And Trello. The way it interfaces is really slick. So whenever you embed, you just put a link to your video on Loom, and it will embed the video right there in Trello in the card. And we actually, our onboarding process for new hires is
yeah.
all. Just a series of videos in Trello and task in Trello. So new hire gets a board that's all their board, and
yeah.
they work your first week is one column, and they're just working through task. They learn how to use our time tracker. They
yeah.
also get to see company goals. So videos I've made in December last year, and
nice.
You know, a quarterly update here.
I want to go through your new hire process. I feel like I'd learn so much.
Yeah, well, I've made a video about using Loom for this reason.
A public one?
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
You have to send it to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I will. It's,
yeah.
The quality's not that great. But.
I don't care. You have to send it to me.
Yeah, I will.
Where can people connect with you online?
Well, trustyoak.com, Instagram, all of the social media platforms, we're all at trustyoak.com.
At trustyoak. Mm-hmm. And are you comfortable with email or are you on LinkedIn?
Yes. LinkedIn. Actually, my LinkedIn handle is Amber McGinty.
Can you spell it?
Amber, AmberMcGinty.
Awesome. So. And what is your favorite book?
Favorite book? Oh, that's a hard question. There's a bunch of them floating around in my head. I'll just talk about the last one I read. We'll just say that. It's not necessarily my favorite, but it's called Crushing Mediocrity, and the authors are both women that were in male-dominated industries, one in aviation, one in the automobile industry, and they talk about, like, they just tell a series of stories of, you know, ways that they overcame within those industries, so... Anyway, that's a good one.
That's awesome. That, like, so fitting.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a good one to remember.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for hanging out with the Women in Tech podcast.
Thank you.
I love it. I completely want to experience your onboarding process. And I want to be like a beeping, like eye over your shoulder on your HubSpot account.
I'm just like, well, I'm making videos, so I'll send them over.
And I will be checking out Loom. There's so many notes. I'm like, you must remember all these things. Post-interview.
It's a good thing we're recording this.
Yeah. Thank you, Amber. If you want to connect with more incredible women in tech around the world, remember you could go to the Women in Tech Facebook group at womenintechvip.com. That's womenintechvip.com. Be sure to say hello on social at Women in Tech Show on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. I will see you guys, talk to you guys, hear you guys in the next episode. Bye.
This is Amber Gray with Trusty Oak, where we provide U.S.-based virtual assistant services to busy entrepreneurs and creative teams based in Austin, Texas, and you're listening to Women in Tech.
Impact Hub here in Austin, Texas has been our home. We want to give a huge thanks to making it possible for us to comfortably meet and interview several inspiring women in tech. They have the most collaborative workspace, incredible events, beautiful design, a hammock in their backyard. What? It's an incredible space. You have to check it out if you're in Austin. Thank you so much for being a part of the Women in Tech journey. Be sure to go to impacthubaustin.com to get your free day of co-working. I want to give a huge thanks to the team at SpyCloud. SpyCloud protects your employee and customer information from breaches and account takeovers. Try SpyCloud's early warning breach detection platform. SpyCloud made it possible for us to meet with several women in tech here in Austin, Texas, and I am so thankful that they have been part of the Women in Tech podcast journey. Get protected today by going to spycloud.com. That's SpyCloud.com.